Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to the book of Judges, chapter 13. What is the pattern in Judges? The people sin, and when they continue in sin, God gives them over to their enemies. They are enslaved. They are in horrible circumstances, absolutely miserable, and eventually they cry out to the Lord. And when they cry out to the Lord mercifully raises up somebody to act as his instrument in order to bring deliverance and relief from their enemies. Judges chapter 13, this is God's word. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. A certain man of Zorah named Manoah from the clan of the Danites had a wife who was sterile and remained childless. The angel of the Lord appeared to her and said, "You are sterile and childless, but you are going to conceive and have a son. Now see to it that you drink no wine or other fermented drink, and that you do not eat anything unclean, because you will conceive and give birth to a son. No razor may be used on his head, because the boy is to be a Nazarite, set apart to God from birth, and he will begin the deliverance of Israel from the hands of the Philistines." Then the woman went to her husband and told him, "A man of God came to me. He looked like an angel of God, very awesome. I didn't ask him where he came from, and he didn't tell me his name, but he said to me, 'You will conceive and give birth to a son. Now then, drink no wine or other fermented drink, and do not eat anything unclean, because the boy will be a Nazarite of God from birth until the day of his death.'" Then Manoah prayed to the Lord, "O Lord, I beg you, let the man of God you sent to us come again to teach us how to bring up the boy who is to be born." God heard Manoah, and the angel of God came again to the woman while she was out in the field, but her husband Manoah was not with her. The woman hurried to tell her husband, "He's here, the man who appeared to me the other day." Manoah got up and followed his wife. When he came to the man, he said, "Are you the one who talked to my wife?" "I am," he said. So Manoah asked him, "When your words are fulfilled, what is to be the rule for the boy's life and work?" The angel of the Lord answered, "Your wife must do all that I have told her. She must not eat anything that comes from the grapevine, nor drink any wine or other fermented drink, nor eat anything unclean. She must do everything I have commanded her." Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, "We would like you to stay until we prepare a young goat for you." The angel of the Lord replied, "Even though you detain me, I will not eat any of your food. But if you prepare a burnt offering, offer it to the Lord." Manoah did not realize that it was the angel of the Lord. Then Manoah inquired of the angel of the Lord, "What is your name, so that we may honor you when your word comes true?" He replied, "Why do you ask my name? It is beyond understanding." Then Manoah took a young goat together with the grain offering and sacrificed it on a rock to the Lord. And the Lord did an amazing thing while Manoah and his wife watched. As the flame blazed up from the altar toward heaven, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame. Seeing this, Manoah and his wife fell with their faces to the ground. When the angel of the Lord did not show himself again to Manoah and his wife, Manoah realized that it was the angel of the Lord. We are doomed to die, he said to his wife. We have seen God. But his wife answered, if the Lord had meant to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and grain offering from our hands, nor shown us all these things, or now told us this. The woman gave birth to a boy and named him Samson. He grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him while he was in Mahanan Dan, between Zorah and Eshtol. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Well, as we said, this was the pattern of God raising up individuals who would bring deliverance to his people. And when I was a kid, this fellow who's introduced in this chapter, there are several chapters about him that we'll study in the coming days, but this chapter, this story, was one of my absolute favorites because my dad, believe it or not, liked to work out with weights. We got him a bench press for his 70th birthday, okay? He was a very fit fellow. He could do that deal with the rings. I think it's called the Iron Cross, where you basically hold yourself like this and just hang there. And that just blows my mind. But so, I am not a great athlete, but my father was very strong. And I thought, because Dad had wonderful muscles, that Samson was like my dad with long hair. So this was one of my favorite stories about a guy who was so powerful that he could kill an animal, a wild animal, a lion, with his bare hands. Imagine, you get attacked by an animal and you just grab it and make it sorry. One time, we're going to come to this story later, his enemies are coming against him. He picks up the gate to their city, the gate to their city, picks the whole thing up and carries it off. Nobody messed with him that day. I mean, this was an amazing fellow. But folks, his birth was a miracle. It was a miracle. Many of the people that God wanted to use in a special way, he gave to parents who couldn't have children. Notice what the angel says when the angel comes and appears to Samson's mom. Verse 3, the angel of the Lord appeared to her and said, you are sterile and childless, but you are going to conceive and have a son. Well, sterile and childless means you can't have a baby, and that's why you haven't had a baby, and you're going to have a baby, is what he says next. Okay? This is something you are not capable of making happen. God's going to make it happen. This is something that is a problem that you've had a long time, and you can't fix it, but God can. And folks, we need to understand not only that children are a gift from the Lord and that they are to be received with gratitude, but we also need to recognize that God is able to do what is impossible with man.
Every now and then people ask me, who pays for the airtime for you to be on the radio? I can understand why people would be mystified by that. The answer is, our listeners do. We would really appreciate it if you would join with others in keeping these broadcasts on the air. We'd love to hear from you. You can go to our website. That's probably the easiest way to contact us, pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. There's all kinds of stuff there, even a picture of my family. If you haven't seen my family, you've missed a blessing. We've got quite a tribe. 7 kids, 8 grandkids. They're not all on the website, but enough of them are to give you the impression. Please go to the website, pastorwood.org. Check out the books, the videos that are available. We've got a lot of stuff that we would love to share with you, and we would really appreciate hearing from you. God bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is. and he's holding out his hand.
I've seen God answer so many prayers in miraculous ways. I know that God is able. But I want you to understand something. God is God. He does what he chooses. He does what is best at the right time, and his ways are not our ways. So when God decided to raise up Samson, the Lord sent an angel, and he told the woman, he didn't say to her, you're not really childless, you're not really sterile. He says, you are sterile, you are childless, but you're going to conceive and have a son. And then he tells the woman, as you get ready for this miracle, there are some things that God wants you to do. I can't find a miracle that isn't attached to obedience in the scripture. God works miracles over and over and over and over and over in the context of obedience. When God's about to do something, he tells people to do something. And as people do what God commands, God unleashes his supernatural power and his glory is revealed. He tells this woman, you're going to conceive and give birth to a son. But that son is going to be dedicated to the Lord from birth. Now back in the book of Numbers, chapter 6, we have a picture of how a person is to behave if they take a Nazarite vow. Verses 1 through 21 in Numbers chapter 6 give us a description, and it talks about the length of time. You know, this is the way you're to conduct yourself during the time when you're under the Nazarite vow. That was not the case with Samson. Samson wasn't somebody who partway, as he's growing up, would take a Nazarite vow. Samson was dedicated to the Lord from birth to serve as a Nazarite. And so even before he was born, his mom was not to violate any of the law. She was not to eat anything unclean. She was not to drink any alcoholic beverage. In fact, she was not to have anything that grew on the vine. No grapes, no raisins, no wine, nothing that might even kind of sort of be close to. They were very serious about doing what God had said. Sadly, we'll see in the chapters that follow that Samson was not as careful as his parents had been. But I do want you to notice that God not only said, don't drink alcohol, he says, nothing that comes from the vine. Because you and I have a tendency to try and see how close to the edge we can get. You know what I mean? You say, no, Pastor Wood, that's not true. I'm not like that at all. I bet you there's some area of your life where you are. Okay? Because it's human nature. It's human nature. It's not okay. But I was very pleased to see one of our ranch graduates, now a married man, military veteran, living in another state, posting online something that he had learned right here in this room. He said, if you want to avoid getting burned, stay far enough back from the fire that if you fall and reach out your hand, you still can't touch the fire. Got it? If you want to avoid being burned, stay far enough back from the fire that if you fall and reach out your hand, you still won't be able to touch the fire. Because what happens to us? We accidentally do the wrong thing. And when the things blow up and people say, what happened? We say, I didn't mean to. Well, it's not enough not to mean to. You got to mean not to. You got to decide, I don't want to go near that thing. I don't want, if it's questionable, let's don't. If in doubt, don't. Like, well, I'm not sure it's wrong. Well, if you're not sure if it's not wrong, then don't do it. Don't play Russian roulette. Don't take unnecessary risks with sin. And so God gives the parents of Samson some very strict rules and says, you don't even want to go close. Say, well, it's not really wine. It's just raisins. You know, can't we have raisins? Well, okay, raisins are okay. Well, what about grapes? What about if they haven't turned to raisins yet? Well, what if it's just grape juice? Well, what if it's grape juice, but it's not really, I don't think it's really turned yet. God says, let me make this simple for you. If it comes off the vine, that's not for you. Got it? Why? If you don't want to get burned, stay far enough back from the fire that if you fall toward the fire and reach out with your hand, you still can't touch the fire. I mean, just give yourself a buffer zone. So God gives Samson's parents instructions. And he starts out by giving the instructions to the wife. She tells the husband, and he's like, I'm not sure I know what to do. God's sending us a special child. I always wanted a child, but now God's sending us one, and he's got to be a Nazarite from birth. God, please, would you send that man back here to give us more instructions? And so God answers and sends the man. And the man is the angel of the Lord. Now, I'm not going to do a whole treatise this morning on the angel of the Lord, but I will tell you this. There are excellent reasons why many of us feel like when it refers to the angel of the Lord, we're talking about the pre-incarnate Jesus. Okay? And notice the answer when Manoah says, are you the one who came and spoke to my wife before? And his answer is, I am. You remember what Jesus said when they asked him about his relationship with Abraham? He says, before Abraham was, I am. You remember what God told Moses when Moses said, who shall I say sent me? And God says, tell them I am sent you. And when Manoah says, give us your name so that we can honor you. He says, why do you want to know my name? It is beyond understanding. The word he uses there is the same word that's used in Isaiah when it says his name is wonderful. That's the word in Hebrew that's used here to describe who this is and what his name is. So the bottom line is, whether it is the pre-incarnate Christ or not, it is the angel of the Lord for sure. It is the Lord's messenger, the Lord's manifestation of his glory. He shows up, and as is often the case when God is doing something, they don't really understand. They don't really know who he is. They don't really recognize what's going on until after they offer this burnt offering and the angel of the Lord ascends in the flame and disappears from sight. Does that remind you of anybody, by the way? Jesus, exactly. Exactly. Who was taken up before their eyes. Now, I love the fact that after that happens, Manoah shows that he is not the sharpest knife in the drawer, that he is not the brightest bulb in the chandelier. Got it? What does he say? He says, we're going to die. Now, why is that a dumb thing? The angel has already told them that she's going to have a baby, and here's how you're to bring it up. And so the wife, very graciously, she doesn't say, you dummy. But the wife says to Manoah, if the Lord had meant to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and grain offering from our hands, nor shown us all these things, or now told us this. She says, let me give you three reasons that I don't think you're correct about this. It was a very nice way to respond. Why did God choose them? I don't know. The only thing I know about why they would be good candidates to have this boy, the only thing I know is that they were not capable of having children. It would be very obvious that this was a God thing, and God likes to operate that way. God loves to do what is impossible with man. Can you think of anybody else who God chose for a miraculous birth? Like maybe Abraham and Sarah? And they had Isaac. And then Isaac married Rebekah, and she was not able to conceive for 20 years. And then God gave them Jacob and Esau. There's a wonderful fellow who probably, very possibly at least, was the one who compiled all these stories and wrote the book of Judges. We don't know that for a fact, but it's very likely. His name was Samuel. There are two books in the Bible named after him, 1 and 2 Samuel. Samuel was another miracle baby. Let's see if there are any others. Any other miracle babies you can think of? John the Baptist. John the Baptist is another. Got another one after John the Baptist? Who?
Jesus.
One more time?
Jesus.
God loves to rescue his people, to send a messenger, to raise up a nation using people who can't make things happen. If you look at your life and you say, oh, I can't do anything, you may be just the person God's looking for. Okay? But guess what? God said, this is what you're to do. And these parents began obeying what God said. They trusted God that after all these years of not being able to have a baby, now they're going to have a baby. They trusted God that this child would belong to the Lord and that he was not to have any fermented drink, nothing from the vine, and he was never to have a haircut. Imagine that. I thought in the New Testament it said something about long hair being a shame for a man. Yeah, it does say that in the New Testament. Generally speaking, that's a good rule. But it doesn't mean that it's a sin for a man to have long hair, because there are times when God commanded people not to cut their hair. Like if you're a Nazarite, for instance. And Samson, from birth, was to be a Nazarite and never have his hair cut. That's cool. I think that'd be really neat. I'd like to be able to let my hair grow out long, get it real long, you know. You talk about inconvenient. Have you ever grown your hair out really long? For a while it's fun. When you get off the bus and you're walking to the other side, you swing it like that. Try and get it out of your eyes. Wonderful long mane. It's just so wonderful. But after a while, about the time you could trip on it, when it keeps getting caught and stuff, this is not fun. I at least need to be able to trim the split ends. No, just put it in a braid. That's what Samson's going to end up having to do. He's going to have a bunch of braids. He's going to have his hair braided. Picture it. This guy going around with these, weird. Okay? But nobody wanted to say anything to him. Because, I just got to tell you a funny story. My friend on Cape Cod, before he knew Jesus, had some things in common with Samson. And before he knew the Lord, he was in a place he shouldn't have been, and a guy came over to him just to tease him by suggesting something that was immoral. And the guy turned around and he picked this fellow up, picked him up in the air, over his head, and threw him across the room and out the doors. Went through the doors and out into the street. My friend never hit him. He just picked him up in the air and threw him like a javelin. You don't mess with a guy who can do that. You understand? Now let me tell you something. Samson was so strong that whenever anybody messed with him, they lost. And yet he got his strength not from his muscles, but from the Lord. Because what he could do was supernatural. My friend had extraordinary natural strength. When his kitchen range caught on fire and flames were coming up, he grabbed it on either side, pulled it away from the wall, and carried it outside while it was on fire. Can you imagine that? If you go to pick up a stove, it's heavy. You want to get two people for that job, or a dolly. And if it's on fire, you just want to call 911. My friend grabbed hold of it, pulled it out from the wall, and carried it through his house and out the slider and put it in the yard. Samson made my friend look like a wimp. You understand? Because Samson could take on not just one guy or two guys or 10 guys. He could take on a whole army. Where did he get that kind of power? He got it from God. He got it from God. And folks, that's what we need, is the power of the Lord, not just more muscles. Okay? Well, muscles are okay, aren't they? Yeah, muscles are great. Go for them. But I want you to understand, this is the story of a man through whom God worked miracles. But it started with obedience. Please don't miss that. When God was ready to deliver his people, he told them what to do. Please don't miss that. Because God works his miracles in the context of obedience. And this was a God thing.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.